Lydia's elopement with Wickham brought a sudden end to the visit of Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner and their niece to Derbyshire, while the journey back to Longbourn afforded an ample, in Elizabeth's case too ample, opportunity to study the various causes of that unhappy event and the possible outcome.
You know, I've been thinking. It appears to me very unlikely that any young man should have, well, evil, dishonorable designs against a girl who was by no means unprotected or friendless.
Do you really think so?
Besides, she was actually staying under his colonel's roof. So, I mean, could he have any hopes of preferment if he'd affronted his commanding officer in such a very marked manner?
Upon my word, I agree. Besides, I still cannot believe Wickham capable of such behavior. Can you, Liz?
Not if it was against his own interests, certainly.
But if it was not?
Well, then I'm not so sure. He'd never marry a girl without money, of that I'm certain he can't afford to. And as for any fear of her family, she has no brother to take her part, and my father's apparent indifference can only lead him to suppose that he may act as he will without fear of the consequences.
Can you really believe Lydia would ever consent to live with him on any other terms but marriage? Can you really believe that of your own sister?
Well, I hardly know what to say, Aunt.
Lizzie, dear.
Oh, I know. It does seem dreadful to doubt one's own sister in such a matter. Perhaps I'm not doing her justice. But ever since the regiment came, she's been allowed to think of nothing but love and flirtation to such an extent that it has greatly heightened her, what shall I say, the susceptibility of her feelings. And they were susceptible enough before, in all conscience. Besides, we all know how charming Wickham can be when it suits him.
I don't believe Jane thinks quite so ill of him as you do, my love.
My dear aunt, Jane doesn't think ill of anyone until their guilt has been proved beyond question at least twice over.
That's true.
But alas, Jane knows as well as I do what Wickham really is.
What do you mean, my dear?
Lizzie, dear, you say that as though you have some special knowledge.
I have, aunt. But I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to tell you what it is.
Oh, Lizzie.
I happen to know that Lydia is not the first young woman he has deceived in this way.
Oh, dear.
You know this for a fact?
I do. And so does Jane. We discussed whether or not to make it known to the remainder of the family, but decided that as he was so soon leaving the neighborhood, it wasn't necessary. We were wrong, it seems.
Then Lydia knew nothing of this?
No. And that is why I hold myself partly responsible.
Oh, my dear child.
Oh, I know it's hardly likely it would have deterred her if she had. Indeed, knowing her, the fact of his having such a reputation might well have added to his attractions. Nevertheless, I blame myself. I blame myself exceedingly.
So, in anxious speculation, and on Elizabeth's part, self-reproach, the journey passed, and after sleeping one night on the road, they at last came in sight of Longbourn. Elizabeth went on ahead, leaving Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner to superintend the unpacking of the luggage, and was met in the hall by Jane, coming downstairs from Mrs. Bennet's room.
Oh, dear Jane, how I've longed to get back. Any news?
No, not yet, I'm afraid.
No, I suppose not.
Father has written once.
From London?
To give me his address. Oh. He will not write again until he has something definite to tell.
And Mother, how is she? In fact, how are you all?
Oh, Mother is reasonably well, I suppose, considering, though she is greatly shaken. Oh, but come up and speak to her.
She is in bed?
Not now. She gets up a little, but will not dress or come downstairs.
Oh, Jane.
We'd better go up. She will have heard the carriage, and if we remain down here too long, she will begin to suspect our motives for not going to her.
Lizzie, dear. There, I cannot tell you how much I have suffered. Well, Jane will bear me out. Oh, that man, that dreadful man.
You mean Wickham, Mama?
If only I had been allowed to go to Brighton, this would never have happened, never. Poor Lydia, poor child with nobody to take proper care of her. Why did that Mrs. Forster ever let her out of her sight? Yes, I blame her for her wretched business.
I always thought Mrs. Forster a silly woman, but really, Mama...
I never did take to her, but there, my opinion counts for nothing in this house, I suppose. And now there's Mr. Benish gone away, leaving me here all on my own, if you please.
But he's gone to try and find them, Mama.
Yes, and if he does, that dreadful Wickham will probably kill him. And then what will become of us all? The Collinses will be upon us and turn us out into the street before he's cold in his grave.
But, Mama, it is not a week yet since they left Brighton. Don't let us give the whole thing over as lost just yet. Uncle Gardner is going to London to join Father, and when they are found, well, that is the time to decide what is best to be done.
Yes, yes, your uncle will find them, I'm sure, if anyone can. And if they are not yet married, he must make them, whatever that Wickham says.
But, Mama, surely...
And as for the wedding dress, ask him to tell Lydia not to wait. Tell her she must marry in whatever she has to stand up in. But she may have as much money for clothes as she wants as soon as she is married.
Very well, Mama.
And above all, tell him on no account is Mr. Bennet to fight Wickham. Or I cannot answer for the consequences.
But, Mama, whatever makes you think...
Oh, if he only knew how out of my wits I have been. Such flutterings of my heart. Such palpitations. Such pains here in my side. And such dreadful spasms and shortness of breath. And on second thought, ask him to tell Lydia to do nothing until she has consulted me about clothes. I mean... She does not know which are the best warehouses and how to obtain the greatest value.
Later that day, the two elder Miss Bennets were able to be half an hour by themselves. There was so much on both sides to be said, but for the moment Elizabeth deemed it more prudent to make no mention of her recent meeting with Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley, for fear of the additional pain such memories would revive in her sister. The subject of Lydia and Wickham was surely pain enough.
Tell me all that you know, Jane. Had nobody any inkling of anything afoot between Lydia and Wickham? No one at all.
Well, Kitty has since admitted that she knew Lydia to be in love with him.
Before they went to Brighton?
No, not so long ago as that, I think.
Oh, but then Lydia has thought herself in love with a different man every week, nearly. We can hardly blame Kitty for failing to mention just one or two, I suppose.
Well, the first we all knew of it was a letter from Colonel Forster sent by express, enclosing this, from Lydia to his wife.
Oh, Jane, may I?
Yes, of course.
My dear Harriet, you will laugh when you know where I am gone, and I cannot help laughing myself at your surprise tomorrow morning when you discover my empty bed. I will not tell you who I am gone with, because if you cannot guess, I shall think you a great simpleton, as there is but one man in the world I love, and he is just an angel. You need not send them word at Longbourn if you do not like, for it will make the surprise all the greater when I write to them and sign myself Lydia Wickham. Oh, what a joke that will be! I can hardly write for laughing as I think of it.
Lydia Wickham? Then surely...
At least it shows that her intention was marriage. Mm. I'm afraid even I dare not be so certain it was his.
No. No, I suppose not.
Oh, poor silly Lydia. How little she really knows the world for all her brave talk.
I make my apologies to Pratt for not being able to dance with him tonight, and tell him I will do so at the next ball when we meet with the greatest of pleasure. I shall send for my clothes as soon as I have an address. But in the meantime, perhaps you would ask Sally if she would send my worked muslin, the one which has a spit under the arm. Goodbye. My love to Colonel Forster. And I hope you will drink to our journey. Your affectionate friend, Lydia Bennet.
Oh, poor foolish girl.
And since then there's been nothing, no word.
Not a word.
Ah, then you may depend upon it. She is not yet in a position to sign herself Lydia Wickham. And probably never will be. Has my mother seen this?
Oh, she has. She read it when it arrived and was taken ill immediately. Oh. In fact, the whole house has been in confusion and uproar.
So there cannot be anyone, even the gardener's boy, who does not know the full story by now, I suppose.
Oh, everyone has been most kind. Lady Lucas came at once to know if she could be of any help.
She had better have stayed at home.
Lizzie!
Oh, I suppose she may have meant well. But at moments like these, it is my opinion that one cannot see too little of one's neighbours. Let them triumph over us at a distance and be satisfied.
The following days brought no further news. They did, however, bring one letter addressed to Mr. Bennet in the familiar hand of Mr. Collins, which, as Jane had instructions to open all her father's letters in his absence, she accordingly did.
My dear sir, I feel myself called upon by our relationship and my station in life to condole with you on the grievous affliction you and your family are now suffering under, of which we were this morning informed in a letter from Hertfordshire. Be assured that Mrs. Collins and myself sincerely sympathize with you in your distress, which must be of the bitterest kind, because no time can remove it. The death of your daughter would have been a blessing in comparison with this, and all the more because, as I understand it, this licentiousness on her part results from a faulty degree of indulgence on yours. Though if it be any consolation to you as a parent, I am inclined to believe that her own disposition must be naturally bad, or she could not be guilty of such an enormity at so early an age. But however that may be, you are all grievously to be pitied, in which opinion I am joined not only by Mrs. Collins, but by Lady Catherine and her daughter, to whom I have related the whole affair. They agree with me in feeling that this false step in one daughter must be injurious to the fortunes of all the others, for who, as Lady Catherine condescendingly says, will connect themselves with such a family? All of which leads me to reflect with satisfaction that but for the happy circumstance of my marriage to my dear wife, I must have been involved in your present sorrow and disgrace. Let me advise you, then, to console yourself where possible, and to throw off your unworthy child from your affections forever, and leave her to reap the fruits of her own deplorable offence. I am, dear sir, etc., etc.
When Mr. Gardiner wrote again, it was to report no further news of the missing couple, but to say that Mr. Bennet, in response to his advice, was abandoning the search to his brother-in-law and returning immediately.
So, he will be with us by this time tomorrow. There is that not happy news, Mama?
What? Your father coming home without poor Lydia? Well, surely he will not leave London before he has found them. Besides, who is to fight Wickham and make him marry her if he comes away? Oh, dear, I'm sure he has no thought at all for me when he behaves in this way.
When, at length, Mr. Bennet returned, he had all the appearance of his usual philosophic composure. He said as little as he was generally in the habit of doing, and made no mention of the business that had taken him away, until he was sitting alone with his two elder daughters that evening.
Well, my dears, I see by your faces you expect me to provide some interesting or exciting piece of information. I fear I have none. Unless one considers it interesting that Mr. Wickham has apparently contracted gambling debts to the tune of £1,000 or more in the short time that he has spent in Brighton.
Wickham, a gambler? Oh, no. Oh, I would never have thought it of him.
Would you not, my dear? Then I'm afraid you must have been alone in your trust.
Poor father, I'm afraid this whole affair must have fallen most heavily of all upon you.
Oh, say nothing of that, Lizzie. It has been my own doing as much as anyone's. I should be the one to suffer.
Oh, you mustn't be too severe upon yourself. Truly, you mustn't.
Dear Lizzie, let me for once in my life feel how much I have been to blame. I'm not afraid of being overpowered by the sensation. It will pass soon enough, believe me. Ah, Kitty, my child. You are come to join the discussion of your sister's escapade. I hope it will prove instructive to you.
I am not, Papa. I am come because Mama wishes to know how long she is to remain upstairs alone.
And you think they are still in London, Lydia and Wickham?
Most probably. Where else can they be so well concealed?
Lucky thing. Lydia always wanted, of all things, to go to London.
Then we must assume her well pleased. She will remain there for some time, no doubt.
Papa, you must be very tired from your journey. Let me fetch you a glass of something warm.
Jane, my dear, how kind and thoughtful.
No, don't move. You sit there.
Ah, now this is what does one good. To sit and be waited upon by one's family. It lends such an elegance to misfortune, does it not?
A slice of lemon with your toddy.
You spoil me, my love. You see, from now on, I shall remain in my study in my nightcap and powdering gown and give you all as much trouble as I can.
Dear Papa, I'm quite sure you will not.
Or perhaps I shall defer it until Kitty runs away. What do you think about that, eh, my child?
But I'm not going to run away, Papa. If ever I get the chance to go to Brighton, I'm sure I shouldn't behave as Lydia has.
You go to Brighton? My dear girl, I wouldn't trust you as near as Eastbourne, not for £50.
Oh, Papa!
No, Kitty, my love. Your sister Lydia has taught me a lesson, and I'm afraid you will feel the effects of it. No officer shall ever enter this house again, or even pass through the village if I can prevent it.
Oh, no! Oh, please, Papa!
He doesn't really mean it.
Dances of all kinds will be absolutely forbidden, unless you stand up only with one of your sisters.
Oh,
and you are never to stir out of doors again until you can prove to me that you have spent at least 10 minutes each day in some rational manner.
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's not fair.
Papa, don't tease her.
Oh, Kitty, don't be so silly. He doesn't really mean it. Here you are, Papa.
Oh, thank you, my love. Very well, then, Kitty, my dear, I will relent. If you are an extremely good, sensible girl for the next 10 years, I will take you to a military review at the end of it. There, how's that? And now, if you'll forgive me, I shall return to my study.
Some days after the return of Mr. Bennet, when Jane and Elizabeth were coming home from their afternoon walk, they were surprised, as they approached the house, to hear the sound of wheels in the lane.
One moment, Jane. A London post.
Surely not at this hour.
It must be an express. You mean...
It must be. Come on, we must run.
Oh, Lizzie.
Oh, it would come the moment we leave the house.
Oh, goodness.
I've had a feeling all day. Oh, Jane, hurry.
Oh, Lizzie.
Oh, such a stitch.
They arrived, panting for breath, at their father's study door.
Papa, has he come?
A letter
from London.
Yes, only a few moments ago.
Well,
has he found them?
Yes, he has found them.
Oh, Papa!
And are they married?
It would seem not.
Oh, dear.
In fact, it would appear that marriage was never actually part of their intention. Though your uncle has hope that if certain courses are adopted, they may be persuaded to change their minds. Or at least that my future son-in-law may be persuaded to change his. Oh, but read it for yourselves if you wish.
Oh, no, no.
What exactly is the consideration that might make Wickham change his mind?
Now that brings us to the core of the matter.
Oh, don't tell us, Papa, if you think you had better not.
On the whole, I think it's better that you should know the full truth of it. After all, it concerns every one of us to some extent. All he asks for is an assurance that she may receive her due proportion of the small amount which will be the lot of each of you after my death, and in the meantime, during my life, a settlement on her of £100 a year.
£100? Is that all he asks?
That is the figure your uncle mentions.
Then he can't be so bad, surely. Nor can his debts be nearly as great as we were led to believe. Oh, Papa, how happy you must feel.
Must I, my love?
And have you sent an answer?
Oh, my dear child, I have not had time.
But you will do so.
Oh, yes, yes, of course I shall do so.
Papa, I do entreat you to do so as soon as possible.
What?
Now, in fact.
What, now?
Oh, yes, sir, now, if you please, for all our sakes.
Dear Papa, let me write it for you at your dictation, if you dislike the trouble yourself.
I dislike it very much indeed. Nevertheless, it must be done, though thank you, Jane, for your offer.
May I ask Papa what you propose to say? Will you agree to his terms?
Agree? My dear child, I'm only ashamed if he's asking so little.
Ashamed, Papa? Why should you feel ashamed?
I suppose they must marry.
Oh, of course they must marry. There is no other way open, not now.
Yet to chain her to such a man... So young.
Oh, I know. It's a dreadful prospect. However, it's one of her own choosing, apparently. But there are still two things I should greatly like to know. One is how much money your uncle has had to put down to bring this marriage about. And the other is how in the world I'm ever going to repay him.
Money? My uncle? Papa, what do you mean?
I mean, Jane, that no man in his senses would ever marry your sister Lydia on so slight a temptation as 100 a year in my lifetime and a small capital sum when I am gone. Least of all Wickham.
That's very true, though it hadn't occurred to me before.
Then what is the explanation?
His debt's discharged and something still remains.
Exactly.
Oh, it must be my uncle's doing. The good, generous man. I'm afraid he must have distressed himself seriously to do this. A small sum would have been quite useless. Oh,
Wickham is a fool if he takes her with a farthing less than £10,000.
£10,000?
And I should be sorry to have such a poor opinion of him so early in our family relationship. Oh, now, my dears, I'm afraid I must ask you to leave me to myself a while. The effort of composition will require my undivided attention.
Yes,
of course, Papa.
Oh, may we show Mama the letter? Have you any objection?
Oh, no, no. Take it, take it. But leave me in peace, if you please.
Yes, Papa.
Oh, dear. Well, at least I suppose it's some comfort that they are to be married.
I suppose so. Yet it seems strange we should rejoice at something that is likely to bring so little happiness to anyone concerned.
Oh, well, we must do our best to forget all that has been said on both sides. His consenting to marry her at all is some proof that he is not without feeling.
Oh, he has feelings, no doubt. But of what kind?
I am determined to believe that he has come to a right way of thinking. Their mutual affection should steady them. I flatter myself that they will come to settle so quietly and live in so rational a manner that their imprudence will eventually be quite forgotten.
Dear Jane, you still have this happy view of the human race in spite of all that has happened.
Yes, yes, I do. But what do you mean, all that has happened?
I had not meant to tell you for fear of bringing back the hurt, but I met him again recently with Mr. Darcy in Derbyshire.
Met? Who?
Mr. Bingley. There, I have spoken his name at last. Oh, poor Jane, it distresses you, I know.
No, it does not. What did he say?
Oh, he inquired after you most tenderly. Oh, Jane, is it still painful to you? I'm afraid it is.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Well, perhaps a little.
I know. And now, I fear, this affair of poor Lydia cannot but make things more difficult for all of us.
You mean... Oh, poor Lizzie.
We are no longer a family to whom it would be advantageous to ally oneself. Indeed, perhaps we never were. But there, we must go at once and tell Mother the news, or she will think we have been keeping it from her.
Oh, poor Mama. I dare not think how she will take it after she's had to suffer so much.
So she is really to be married. Oh, my dear, dear Lydia. Isn't that not the most wonderful news you have heard? Married at 16. But there, what did I always say? Oh, I must get up. I must get up at once.
Mama, do you think you should?
I must go at once and tell Lady Lucas. Oh, she will be so pleased. Lizzie, dear, my stays.
Shall I ring for Betty, Mama?
Goodness, no, I haven't time to wait for her. Oh, how I do long to see the sweet child. And Wickham, too, of course. Lizzie, dear, just be good enough to hook me up, would you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, but the clothes, the wedding clothes. Now, what shall she wear, I wonder? I must write at once to your Aunt Gardner to ask.
Oh, Lizzie! What's the matter, Mama?
Not so tight. Girl, you take all my breath away. Yes, that's better. Jane, dear, run downstairs at once and ask your father how much he will give her to dress herself on. Oh. No, stay. I will go myself in a moment when I've got my... Oh, goodness, I'm so excited. Dear, sweet Lydia, did I not say that she has the prettiest figure of you all? Oh, how merry we shall all be when she comes home a married woman, Mrs. Wickham. Oh, how well it sounds. Does it not sound well, Jane, my love?
Yes, very, Mamma. But please don't excite yourself.
Now, I shall go straight into Venice and myself the moment I'm dressed and tell the good, good news to my sister Phillips.
But, Mamma, I thought you just said...
And on the way back, I shall call in on Lady Lucas and Mrs. Long. Lizzie, dear, run downstairs and order the carriage at once. There's a good child. So, now then, girls, is there anything I can get for you in medicine? Oh, goodness, I'm so excited. I scarcely know what I'm doing.